Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, we have made it to June of 2021.
And that has lots of thoughts. Number one, for a lot of families, school's out, it's vacation time, summer's here. But a more sobering thought is the year's almost half over.
Hard to believe.
And it just reminds us how time seems to fly real fast, but it's never changed how the speed of it. But it's just kind of interesting as we think about those things. This past Sunday, you had a great lesson about leadership, and that's something that is missing all over creation. We're missing it in politics. There's a lot of politicians, but not very many good leaders. It's missing a lot of congregations today. It's missing a lot of homes today. And you were talking about the biblical concept of leadership as God has it and how God always provides leaders. And one of your great statements in that lesson was God's people have a long history of needing leaders, and God has never left his people without leadership. Why don't you kind of run through that one more time for us?
Sure. No, I appreciate that. That is not to say, of course, that people have always respected God's plan. We know that. The Bible documents many examples of people deciding we're not interested in God-defined leadership, or God has raised up a leader and we're not interested in following him. But even from the earliest pages of the Bible, I think that we can find the truth of that principle, whether it's in the age of the patriarchs. We went back on Sunday morning and listened in to Genesis 18, where God clearly defines Abraham's role. Not only is God going to bless Abraham, but he wants Abraham to be a leader of his household and the descendants that come from that household. We call that era the age of the patriarchs because God was communicating and leading these patriarchs, but he expected those father figures to be leaders. He did not leave his people without leadership. And of course, that in the biblical narrative leads us to, let's say, Moses in the second book of the Bible. And we find Israel in desperate need of deliverance and leadership. And so God raises up the unlikely figure of Moses at 80 years old. And then we've got a small crisis by the time we reach the end of Deuteronomy and the start of Joshua. Moses, as great of a leader as he was, Moses dies. What then? And while the people on their own might have missed a beat, God doesn't miss a beat at all. He says to Joshua in Joshua 1, Moses, my servant, has died. And now, Joshua, it's time for you to take the lead. And throughout the book of Joshua and even into the first couple chapters of Judges, we've got these great summary statements of how the entire generation of Joshua served the Lord, and they knew the Lord and feared the Lord. And even though Joshua dies, there is a great influence for good in Israel. But then we get to that ugly book of Judges, and we find a variety of descriptions about how this next generation rises up that does not know God and does not obey God. And it was interesting to me in preparing for this past Sunday, there is an absolute vacuum of leadership, and yet when people were willing to step up and shine as lights in the darkness, God was able to do something great. And so we just tried to illustrate in a variety of different ways. God's people have a long history of needing leaders, and God has never left his people without leadership, but we've got to be willing to do our part.
And so that leads to the New Testament church, and the leadership there is what?
We've got, of course, Jesus is, I love how Peter describes him in 1 Peter chapter 5, the chief shepherd who is going to return. And of course, there are a variety of descriptions of Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. He's the king. He's the head. Variety of ways to look at that. But then in the context of his church, we have leaders who are described in a variety of different ways. They are overseers of the local church. They are shepherds of the flock of God. They are elders in the Lord's church.
And what we notice as you look at those leadership through the entire Bible, there are some changes. You start with Abraham as the patriarch. Moses was leading the nations. We could walk through some of the kings, and then we get to apostles. Today, it's overseers or shepherds. There's not a perpetual office of apostles, or we don't have apostles on the earth today, and that concept is not found in our Bible. And when we think about these roles of leaders, it's not like a political campaign where somebody runs for office. Vote for me. It's the idea that here are godly people who have been serving in different capacities, and they're looked upon by the congregation as being qualified, and they're put in that role, and they have a heart, as you said, willing to serve in that way. And I think that's a key aspect of that. A couple of thoughts I want to kind of peel off of this. It's a great lesson. Really encourage everyone to listen to that as you think about the role of leadership and how it's really missing today, and we really need that so much. In the book of Judges, at the very last verse, but this thought is found at least three times in other places in the book of Judges, but Judges 21, verse 25, the very last verse of the book of Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What's wrong with that? I mean, that seems very novel. In our today, in our culture, we'd say, that's what I'm looking for. I want to be able to express myself in my own way. I want to worship God just however I feel like worshiping God. So everyone does what's right in their own eyes.
Yeah. I think there are two things that stand out about that haunting statement in Judges. Number one is there was a lack of respect for an objective standard. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, we know that is not being celebrated at the end of Judges. There was no excuse for that in Israel. We go back to Moses, and Moses is instructed by God to lead the people to the foot of Mount Sinai, and he enters into a covenant. We're going to be talking all about that, Lord willing, in the month of June in our Building Blocks course of studies. What's a covenant? A covenant is a relationship that has promises, but also expectations, right? God defines that he is willing to be the God of this people, and he expects them to be holy as he is holy. He is willing to fashion them as a kingdom of priests and a light to the nations around them. But if you're going to have a relationship with God, God is not going to change his nature. If you're going to have a relationship with him, you've got to respect him enough to listen to the terms of that relationship. And of course, that is the law that he gives through Moses. It was an objective standard provided by God. Whether you were male or female, whether you were of the tribe of Judah or Asher or Zebulun, whether you were young or old, God had defined what was right. And so, number one, the breakdown is, I'm going to set aside the objective standard that God has given, and I'm going to do what is right in my own eyes. But also, there in Judges 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. So not only do we not have the objective standard, but we don't have examples to look to who are embodying that standard. And when you put that toxic mix together, boy, you've got a dark path ahead.
Well, and I think that well defines the religious community we're in today, is that they have given up on the standard of God's word. So Everybody does whatever they think is right. Now, the problem with that is you do not determine that. What's right to you may not be right. Case in point, why do we have maps on our phone? Why do we have Google Maps and these other things that help us down the road? Because we're driving down the road, and I think I know where it's at, but I don't. I was wrong in my thinking.
Yeah.
So I check my maps. And without an absolute standard, can you imagine going to the store and you try to buy something and you lay down a $5 bill and the man says, well, you owe 20, and you say, well, to me, this is 25.
Yeah.
No standard. You cannot do anything. There is nothing but chaos. Now, again, on the outside surface, it sounds pretty cool at first. Imagine there was no speed limits. Man, wouldn't that be cool, the young people think. Imagine how many wrecks there'd be on the road. Imagine people driving on the wrong side of the road, because that's the side I want to drive on. No absolutes. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's right. Just do whatever you want to do. That's our world today. And what it leads to is just absolute chaos and abandonment from God. And so what we see throughout scriptures is God has not left us to find him on his own. You know, here I am, see if you can find me. He's always sent leaders. He's always sent ways to lead us. And I want to look at least three different ways God leads us and to kind of explore these. I think one of the first things, we just kind of take it for granted, but that's the word of God itself. The scriptures are designed to lead us. They are to lead us to Jesus. They are to lead us to the Father. So the psalmist would say in Psalms 119, he describes the word of God as a lamp unto my feet. Now, again, you're out late at night, and we don't use lamps that way. We'd use a flashlight or use that little flashlight app on your phone. But if you don't have that, you're going to stumble and fall down. What is the word of God? It illuminates. It helps me see. It guides me. It warns me. It shows me that path that is right that I'm supposed to be on. So one of the ways God leads us is through the word of God. He doesn't leave us on our own. He's left us things that we can follow.
Right. And how special that not only he has given us his standard, but he has given us people to whom we can look up as examples. I think that was the second thing you jotted down, right? Living examples.
Absolutely. So we'd find, for instance, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, as Peter was even talking about this role of shepherds or leaders there, he would talk about the way that they would lead. In verse 3, he says, not as lording it over those allotted to your charge, proving to be examples to the flock. Again, the idea that God has not left us to our own, do whatever you want to do, but he shows us living examples, people within our congregation, strong men and women that are living God's way to help us. But we also find, again, in that same idea in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 4, as Paul was writing to the young man Timothy, he would say in verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. So all around us, all ages, young ones, old ones, middle age, we have people whose hearts are set on Jesus. And they illustrate for us, this is the way we should live. This is how you parent. This is how you have a marriage. This is how you conduct yourself in business. Living examples of righteousness all around us.
Yeah, and I think that is something that hopefully we appreciate more in 2021, I hope, than perhaps we ever have in our lifetime. Because you think about where we were a year ago. The standard has not changed. What God has revealed has not changed, but all around us, we were in this difficult season where we weren't able to spend the time with so many of these living examples that we were used to and perhaps had taken for granted. And so one of my prayers, not just for my own heart, but for this church family and for all disciples is, let's appreciate the living testaments, the living examples of faith all around us. But even there, okay, so we can have a congregation full of good examples. We still need leaders.
Absolutely. And that's where we get back to where your lesson was about the elders or the shepherds of the flock. They are designed to watch the flock. They're designed to care for the flock, to nourish the flock, to lead us to heaven. And as a group of God's people, we have a responsibility. We should follow them. Doesn't have much good to have a leader if you don't have people who are following you. And so by their characteristics, by their spiritual experience, they're showing us the way that we should go. You know, you ever get mom and dad and the little ones out for a walk in the neighborhood, you always got one who wants to be ahead of everyone else. And you got this one kid who wants to be ahead of everybody. But what he does all the time is he's always turning around making sure everybody's behind him.
Yeah.
Because he wants to make sure y'all didn't take another turn. And he's not really leading because he's a little not sure which way he's supposed to go. But a true leader knows where he's going. He knows where those green pastures are and the quiet waters are, and he knows what the flock needs. And so part of that is to follow them and to respect their position, respect what they have become and where they have been, and realize God has given this to us to help us, so we will follow him and get our ways to heaven.
Yeah, one of my favorite passages along those lines is Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What an awesome way of summarizing. Okay, is this person imitating Christ? And if he is, then, okay, even though I don't live in the era of the Apostle Paul, I can still follow the lead of how he so often said, you imitate me as I am imitating Christ. And if that is the path we are on, well, the outcome of that way of life, I mean, Roger, the way that we describe it on this program is that's the way to be heaven bound, right? God has provided us an objective standard. He has provided us fellow travelers, and he has also provided leaders that we might all be heaven bound together.
So what happens, Jason, when we don't have leaders?
Yeah. Well, so easily we can drift in the direction of Judges chapter 21, right? Where it is very easy for that objective standard to take the back seat to, well, what does the majority want? You know, as we look around, maybe we find ourselves with the sort of hankerings that Israel had in the Old Testament. We sure would like to be like these groups around us. And so maybe we'll get together and let's just come up with a consensus to do X, Y, or Z, even though perhaps there's no scriptural basis for it.
And we understand that just how it works naturally in the family. You don't call a family meeting at the beginning of the month and say, okay, kids, here's what's before us. Do we pay the mortgage or do we go to Disney?
Yeah.
Well, if you got three kids, mom and dad already outvoted. Let's go to Disney. And mom and dad have to be the leaders. And sometimes it's saying tough things. Sometimes it's saying things the kids don't want to hear, but they have their interests at heart and they want them to do what's right. And so they lead. And in a time where in our culture today, everybody wants to just say, just let everybody do whatever they want to do. That doesn't work. No. It just has never worked. And that always goes south. And so we need to see how important it is that we appreciate God all through our lives has given us leaders, and to respect those leaders, to follow those leaders, and to see the great value in that. And what God is doing through all these different avenues of leadership is trying to get us close to him.
Right.
And keep us right where we belong.
I think a good way of summarizing this whole thing, self-denial is not fun. most of us do not enjoy giving ourselves over willingly. But number one, in the context of the home, and number two, in the context of the church, I learn, or I ought to learn, that the universe does not revolve around me. I need to learn how to deny myself and follow the chief shepherd who in his wisdom has provided an objective standard, good examples, and leaders that with his help can get me to heaven. We based so much on Sunday from Judges chapter 5 and verse 2, that the leaders took the lead, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. And whatever the era, what a great anthem, a great goal to set our minds on. Roger, we've got lots of upcoming opportunities to continue to learn God's will for our lives and learn more fully how to follow his lead. The first of those for us together is this evening at 7 o'clock. You're going to be teaching in the auditorium. What do you have lined up?
We continue our series on the battle of the mind, trying to manifest the thinking like Jesus. And we're going to deal with a tough topic of that judgmental spirit. Sometimes that's a very big thing that keeps people from being a Christian. They just see Christians as being too judgmental. And how can we deal with that? How do we have the spirit that Jesus wants us to have?
We are continuing our building blocks course of studies as well. In fact, we're wrapping up our little series for May. It's been a 10-part series where we've explored who is the enemy. And tonight, our final lesson in that series is on the importance of guarding your heart. I've been so encouraged by so many members of our church family who've talked about how beneficial this has been to look at this all in the context of 1 month and to have something so easy and basic to share with others. And so if you have missed any of that 10-part series, Who is the Enemy? They are all available at charlestownroad.org. We greatly appreciate the army of teachers who have helped us throughout the month of May. Roger, this Sunday, we're already looking forward to that, and you are scheduled to preach Sunday morning.
And we're going to take a phrase out of 2 Kings chapter 7, called the Windows of Heaven. There's a fascinating story there about some lepers and what they do and what God does, and I think there's a big bridge for our lives today. So the Windows of Heaven will be Sunday morning.
One more note, Lord willing, in about a week and a half, we've got the start of our Vacation Bible School, June 13th through the 16th. We've got a guest speaker for adults, Don Truex from Temple Terrace, Florida. We've got a whole program lined up for our children. We're talking about meeting God on the mountains. Many more details about that at charlestownroad.org. We are thankful in the summer of 2021 to have so many opportunities, and we would love to have you take full advantage of those. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to this week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to these. We're looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.